Good to see you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Good to see Mrs. Gillett back with us and doing better. Good to have your mother here. And it's good to have Mama around when you're moving, isn't it? Yeah, it really helps. They're probably working her to death. But anyway, no, not really. But that's good to have Mama around. We're glad you're here. Good to see you, Brother and Mrs. Christopher Gordon here. You did get married, didn't you? Yeah. I only remember the ones I did. But anyway, it's good to have you. Stand up. Look at his uniform. Isn't that nice? Nice Army uniform. No, it's Air Force. All right. That's good. I always like to see a guy in his uniform like that. It's good to have you here and good to have some other visitors with us. We want to finish up our series on listening to God. We've dealt with a number of different areas about listening to God. Today, we want to close out with lesson number 11, the life that listens, that is, a person that really listens to God, does what God says, is a well-built life, a well-built life. Some are, some are not, and we'll see that through this story, this parable that the Lord gives us in His Word here in Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at those verses. You're very familiar with them, I'm sure. Jesus had been teaching them a lot of different things in these previous verses. He was giving them a lot of instruction, very practical instruction about prayer and some other things. And then he said in verse 24, Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," heareth and doeth them, "I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." One on the rock, one on the sand. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The Lord wants to teach us some lessons through giving us that information in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. We're all building a life. Even senior citizens are still building our lives. It doesn't matter what age. Age is not the issue. But we're building, building, building all the time, building our lives. And how well we build our lives depends on hearing the Word of God and heeding the Word of God. Hearing it, and not just hearing it, but doing it, heeding what the Bible says. And that's what God expects out of us. So if we listen and we obey, we will survive the storms that we face in life. Somebody said that going to church is dangerous. Why is that? Because you're responsible for what you hear. And if a person goes to church and they hear the truth, or maybe they read it in literature or see it on television or hear it on radio, they're responsible for hearing it, and they have to make a choice as to what they do. And if they reject it, that's a very dangerous thing to do. But we all have that opportunity, usually, most of us in the world have that opportunity to hear. Some do not, but most do. So if we hear and we do not act on what we hear, then we're building on sand. And there are a lot of Christians, a lot of people in our churches that are doing exactly that. They hear, they've heard for years, but they're still building on sand. Are we building well, or are we building poorly? And the question comes to us to deal with that. And again, I say it's at any age. So if we listen and do what God says, we're like the man who built his house on the rock. If we hear it and then we don't do what God says, then we're like the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. So first of all, let's talk about requirements. Requirements for a well-built life. How do we build well-built lives. How do we do that? Primarily, we listen and obey. That's the two things. That's how we build a well-built life. How do we build well-built lives? Number one, hearing God's word. It is so important to hear God's word in some form or fashion. Reading it, hearing it taught, listening, reading some material about the word of God that has scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you're very familiar with these verses, I would think. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many of you believe that? Say amen. It's all God-breathed, and God has given us the completed scripture, the canon of scripture, and we have it with us today. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, that is, to the things that we believe, what doctrine is, and our basis for those beliefs. It's given for reproof. It's given for correction, which we need. It is given for instruction in righteousness, how to live right, what to do that God expects us to do. And that the man of God, or we might say there that a Christian, that the Christians or a man of God may be perfect, that is complete, mature, truly, or we might say it thoroughly, furnished unto all good works. God wants us to hear the word of God so we'll be equipped for good works. And he does expect good works out of us after we are saved. We're not saved by them, but we should have them after we're saved. Good works in our lives. And so hearing God's word. And then scripture builds principles into our lives. There's nothing that will substitute for it. You can read Plato and all the rest, and you can read from Will Rogers, anybody you want to, the country philosophers, whoever it may be, but you're not going to get what you need unless you get it from the Word of God. Scripture builds principles into our lives, and there's some references there. Psalm 19:7, the Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." In other words, the Word of God is perfect. "Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure." You can absolutely depend on it. And it making wise the simple. Even simple people can be made wise by reading and practicing the Word of God. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." I'm glad the Word of God can rejoice our heart. "Make our heart filled with joy. The commandment of the Lord is pure." It can't be tainted. "And enlightening the eyes." Thank God for the Word of God. Joshua 1:7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate." There we get back to quiet time, time with the Lord. "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night," should be on our minds all the time, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." There are a lot of statements in the Bible, and even in 1 Kings, even the Old Testament, that says, "When, then." When you do this, then I'll do this. God has made that promise. And so when we stay in the Word and love the Word and obey the Word, then God says he's going to bless us and he will prosper us. In Colossians 3:16, "Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns," and I like this, "spiritual songs." Some aren't too spiritual, I don't think. "But singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The Word of God, getting it into our mind and heart, even through singing, through the psalms, admonishing each other and doing that. I always think of little children that attend church. Probably if I had it all to do over again, I might just have the bus children come in, not to isolate them, and not that they're second-rate citizens. I don't mean that. But I love to see children in church where the preaching of the Word of God is going out. I love to see families sitting together, little boy, little girl, mom and daddy, that type thing. I remember when I was a kid, many years ago, in a little country church where I'd go and I'd hear the preacher preach, and I was always either sitting by mother or daddy, and sometimes with both of them, depending on what daddy did in the church that day, and I would hear the preacher preaching the Word of God. And I might be drawing something or making, taking some colors on something, but I'm listening at the same time. And a lot of times, I think one reason my earlobes are so long is Mama pulled on them once in a while. Listen, you know. But I would hear what he was saying, and it would get down in my heart. And later on, I had a foundation built in my life because I would sit in church, and we were there all the time. And I would hear the preacher preaching the Word of God, and those truths would get into my heart. I might not, and the children may not understand all of that at an early age, but a lot of it gets in, I promise you, it really does. And I always miss some of that. But little children get that foundation, and when they become teenagers, they have the foundation. And then later on in life, when those storms come, even as teenagers, by the way, teenagers have a lot of storms. They sure have a lot of them today. In our permissive society and drug culture and all of that today, teenagers really, really need to have a foundation. And it starts when they're little bitty children, so it's important to have him in church. So the requirement is to hear, and then a second requirement is heeding. Heeding the Word of God. In other words, obeying and applying the Word of God. I've listed some verses there, but one reference is Luke 11:27-28. It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, now listen to this statement, it's important. Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. The woman came to Jesus and said, blessed is Mary. In other words, she birthed you, she brought you into the world, and she nourished you. And that's a blessed thing. But he said, yea, rather, blessed or more so in this context, are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It was a blessing and a great honor for Mary to bring Jesus into the world and to nourish him as here's a little baby. But he says something even more blessed for us is to hear the word of God and keep it. That is a blessed thing. To hear the Bible preached and taught and to spend time learning it ourselves. And so that's a wonderful thing that he says, obeying and applying the Word of God. So the wise man or woman who listens very intently to Scripture and then they act upon that Scripture and they apply that Scripture, they are those that are wise. And the foolish, they hear and they do not do what God says. And so you have one who's built on the rock and the other who's built on the sand. And then we, secondly, not only the requirements of a well-built life, but the reasons for a well-built life. Why should we want to do it? And what are the reasons? And why does God tell us how important it is to hear and do the Word of God? Here's the thing. We're going to face some storms, and that's what he's saying in these verses. He's not saying here, if these things come. He's saying the rain did descend, and the floods did come, and the winds did blow. In other words, it's going to happen. We're going to face some storms in life. All of us face storms in life. And so Jesus made it very clear that they're going to come there in verse 25. And we are either coming out of a storm, or you may be right in the middle of a storm today, or maybe you are going to go into a storm soon. We don't know. We know that can happen. And we do know that storms are going to come in our lives, and we go through those things. And so storms are inevitable. They're going to happen. We have sometimes financial reversals. That's a storm when money's not coming in and your outgoes more than your income. Your upkeep's going to be your downfall, right? And so that's the way it is. And sometimes it's finances and we are strained because sometimes we bring it on ourselves. Sometimes we can't help it. Maybe it's medical bills. marriages. Sometimes that there's storms in marriages, there are disappointments, there can be the death of a loved one or premature death of a loved one. There can be physical problems. We all come into in touch with storms that are going to come into our lives. The winds are going to blow. Storms are inevitable. Now, the question, I think, according to what he's saying here, is how are we building our lives? Are we building them with the right foundation and the right truth so that when we face these storms, we'll react in the right way, we'll survive and endure the storms? And we do have to do that. And again, I say that storms come at all ages and all stages of life. Trouble for little children, trouble for teenagers, singles, young couples, and senior citizens, certainly in the median age. We all have different trials of different kinds at different stages in our life. So these storms are going to come. And these storms are uncontrollable. They're uncontrollable. We can't control rainstorms, and we cannot harness the floods. We don't have that ability. They come, and we can't control them. Most of us have seen pictures of people's houses floating down the river, maybe the Mississippi or the Ohio River or somewhere. We've seen pictures of cave-ins where I know out at Lake Whitney, not too long ago, two or three years ago, there were houses, multi-million dollar houses falling over and falling down, and some of them fell right into the lake, at least parts of them did. And we see all of these different things, and some of it relates back to storms and mudslides and all of that. That's a sad picture when you see your house floating down the river and you see the water up to the roof on it, that type thing. We think of New Orleans sometime back, all the flooding, and we have a lot of people that moved here in this area because they got out of that flood, came up here, and then they decided they didn't want to go back to that kind of thing. But we face many situations, a lot of circumstances, we have no control over them. We don't have any control over them. God does, but we don't. So storms are uncontrollable. That's why we need to build on the right foundation. And the reason is the indestructibility of a well-built house. The indestructibility of a well-built house. Number one, it has to have the right foundation. The house must have the right foundation. How important is the foundation? And so we're built on Christ. Jesus is the eternal rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This was a New Testament reference to the Jews passing through the Red Sea. But he said that rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the song, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." I heard that when I was a little lad, and I've heard it all through the years, and I'm glad we still sing it around here. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's true, isn't it? We must be built on Christ, the foundation. Then a well-built life is comprised of lasting, enduring substance. It has to be the right kind of thing, the right kind of lasting, enduring substance. And God's Word, I'm glad to say, is our imperishable building material. Here it is right here. It's the Word of God. That's our building material. And we are spiritual beings, and so we look to that. And God's Word is our imperishable building material. Isaiah 48, the grass withereth. We'll find out more about that in August probably. The flowers fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand for how long? Forever. The Word of God stands forever. So if you want to build on something that's going to stand forever. And that's the Word of God. And that's what gives us our imperishable, well-built housing and material. So we're spiritual beings. The substance of our lives is spiritual, not just material. It's spiritual. Every day we're building either good or bad, and to last, in other words, to not fail and to remain victorious throughout all of our lives, we must build upon the eternal rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the third reason to build our houses well is to avoid the inescapable consequences of poorly built houses. they're not built well, there'll be some problems because of that. So the man who built upon the sand did what? He lost everything. I mean, it all came tumbling down. He lost everything. And the person that leaves Christ out and does not apply the word loses a lot, loses everything, really, especially if they're unsaved. And they hear the word, they ignore the word, and that, again, is why it's dangerous to hear the word and come to church and read about it and all of that, because then we're responsible. But if you don't do anything with it, then you're going to come crashing down in one way or the other or some area of your life. Then thirdly, the rewards. There are rewards, a positive part of it, of a well-built life. A life that is built right will be rewarded. And what do we mean? Well, like this man who built his house on the rock, we endure the storms. We can endure the storms. And we have them, as I mentioned, financial, marriage, death, that type thing. You have them a lot of times. Your heart is crushed and broken. Our grandson who took his own life a while back. What takes you through those storms? I'll tell you, it's God. It's being built on the Word. It's the Scriptures. Many friends and prayers, but it's the Scripture that is what we stand on, and God gives us what we need to see us through all of those storms. So we have the capacity, not only that, to endure the storms, but to enjoy the pleasures of life. If we have built our house on the Lord in the Word of God, God's going to bless us, and we're going to know why we're blessed. And we have joy because, hey, I do what God says. I obey the Lord. I try to live for the Lord. And none of us are perfect. We all fail from time to time. But our heart set and our mindset and all is to do what God wants us to do. And we do everything we can to do that. And we know that we have peace that comes and peace sustains us through the trials. And we enjoy the pleasures of life. And we know what brings the pleasures of life. Let me tell you what will make you happy is doing what God says do. Obeying the Lord, living for Jesus. And any time you get out of that fellowship, that area, you're going to lose the joy of the Lord. And so we pray and confess our sins that our joy might be restored. But we're going to lose it if we don't build it on the right things and build it on the Word of God. And then another reward of a well-built life, and I like this one, is that we enrich other people. Other people are blessed when we build our lives like we should on the Lord. And when the storm comes and all of that, and they see it in our lives, if we build our lives on the substance of the Word, then our lives are going to overflow into the lives of other people. They're going to see it. And they'll say, I want what he's got. I want what she's got. There's no way. I don't know how they go through that. I don't know how they take that. I don't know how they go through all of those trials and all of those problems and all that they face and all of the storms that come. And yet, they seem to have the joy of the Lord and they go through it. And I'm telling you, that speaks volumes to people. Volumes. If we get critical and negative and blame God and we let it get us down, that's not going to help other people. But if we go through the storms, built on the Word of God, built on the right foundation, they look at us and they say, wow, I want what he has. I want what she has, because that's the right thing. And then we have continuing spiritual growth, another outcome. We endure the storms. We have the capacity to enjoy the pleasures of life. We enrich other people, and we have continuing spiritual growth. We keep growing in the Lord. So when the storm is over, what do we do? What we should do is we praise God for his faithfulness one more time, that he's been faithful again. And every time we do that, we go through the storm, we see his faithfulness, we mature a little bit more, we get drawn closer to the Lord, and we discover more and more about him, about who he is and what he's like, and about his faithfulness, and about his power, and about what he can do in helping us out during those times. Because we're built on the rock, we're built on the Word of God. And what we believe, and what we do, and how we act, and how we react, is all built solidly on the Word of God. So, the admonition is build your house on the rock. Build it on the Word of God. Hear the Word of God, and heed the Word of God. And when we do that, I believe He has great and mighty things in store. You see, God is still speaking today, isn't He? How many of you believe that? Say amen. God is still speaking. He's still speaking today. And the question is, are we listening, number one, making sure that we know what He's saying and staying and meditating and spending time in the Word? And then are we doing what God tells us to do? Are we doing that? If not, you remember I said that there are some ways He will get our attention. And when He gets our attention, we'll get back in the Word. He has ways to do that. And He speaks to us through circumstances, through other people. And then we need to learn to just sit sometimes quietly and not transcendental hesitation, but meditation, meditating on something positive, which is solid, which is the Word of God. There are going to be a lot of hindrances for the false sense of guilt. We mentioned that. Sometimes we think we're too busy to spend time in the Word of God. Sometimes it's a problem of really believing what God says, unbelief. Sometimes people get angry at God, and sometimes it's just the fact that we have sin in our lives. And when we do, we're not going to be able to hear the Word of God, but we've got to hear it and obey the Word of God. In James 1:22, James summarized it this way, here in this New Testament passage, but be ye what? Doers. Be ye doers of the Word. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. What an admonition. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's so many things in the Bible God tells us to do and not to do. A person who hears that you're supposed to tithe and give to the local church and they don't do it, they're not doers of the Word of God, and they're deceiving themselves. People who hear what God says about bitterness and anger, and they still allow bitterness and anger in their lives, and they allow hatred to come in, then they're not doers of the Word of God. People who are jealous and envious and filled with pride, God says, I hate those things, and those things shouldn't be in our lives. People who allow themselves to walk virtually in discouragement and depression all the time, they're not listening to the Word of God like they should, or they would get over that. There would be a means to get over that. Now, sometimes we have little blue days and so on and so forth, but I'm talking about a period of where you just stay down and defeated and depressed and God can't use you. You see, all of that is contrary to hearing and obeying the Word of God. And if we'll learn to cast our cares upon Him, He cares for us, then He'll get us through all of that. We've got to hear it. We've got to be familiar with it. We've got to spend time in it. We've got to know the book to the best of our ability and then do what God says, and that's part of it. God is still speaking. If we'll just listen and do it, then we'll be blessed. We'll have victory, and God will bring glory to Himself through it. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. And hopefully we're building our lives, however much life we have left, we're building it on the truths of the blessed book of books. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.